presenting on behalf of Cushing County Public Schools, the superintendent. Glad to be here. Thank you for Carter and Tony and Sharon to readjust the schedule after the snow. Got Cody Nofflinger with WD Board from the Chamber and HES. Ken Carver, Executive Principal, Sandra Hancock, Academy Coach. Today we want to go over just really the vision for Cushing County Public Schools and that building out by Lover's Lane. And again, it's really important that we start talking about the opportunities moving forward in the building for not only our students, but for this community. That's the biggest aspect we want to try to convey during this presentation. You have a pamphlet in front of you, looks like this. We try to hand out one to everybody. If you, we'll take a minute to look through that as we're presenting, it's fine. It's just an overview. And you notice when we started having these conversations 4 or 5 years ago, we talked a lot about the building, about the brick and mortar. And this is a little bit different presentation today. This is about outcomes, this is about transformation, this is about opportunities. I want to highlight some of the things on the pamphlet. The first page is a data sheet, hopefully that intrigues you enough to turn it to the next page. There's some really good numbers on there. I want to thank people like Lee Conrad, Carter Hendricks, Clayton Sumner for their contributions to this document. We have great kids doing great things. 62 students participating in early college right now, earning their associate's degree upon completion of their high school diploma. One number we didn't put on here was we have 1,700 students attending Gateway Academy, which is the LAVAC, which is your pathway work, and one of the 29-30 pathways that we offer. We have 2,000 kids in our high schools right now, so 1,700 of them going to Gateway Academy. And the new school, the new premises, the Ford Academy model you've heard a lot about, is really just Gateway on steroids, if you want to say it that way. I want to highlight the EDC's role. Tony Prim has been instrumental in this, underneath Carter's leadership and support and collaboration. Really appreciate Tony has seen this this vision come from the beginning to now. He actually went on a trip with us to Louisville to visit the Ford Academies of Louisville. It was very instrumental. Also, I want to highlight the Chamber and Taylor Hayes. He went on a trip with us last fall to Kansas City, and he brought a lot of good things back, even the eye-opening breakfast premises that we spoke about 3 weeks ago. So it's about committing the community as one. And you see our EDC, you see our Chamber has bought into it already, and we're moving forward. I am really excited about today's presentation. You're the first group that we've done this in front of, because again, it's not about the building itself. We've had a lot of conversations about Cushing County and Hopkinsville and the new Cushing County Tigers. We've had a lot of conversations about bad bids and good bids. We've had a lot of conversations about what the school's going to look like and can we put them together. It's happening. It's coming. The building is on time. It's in budget. It's due to open in August 19th of 2026 to our students for the first day of school. We're scheduled to take occupancy in May. The ribbon cutting is set for August 6th. So all the dates are lining up. It's about us to finish the work and get the building open for our community. One of the things we've talked about a lot with Tony and Cody and Taylor, it's our school. It's not Cushing County Public Schools. It's our community school. And for a long time, we haven't put emphasis on the high school and the outcomes for our high school students. And that should be important moving forward. And hopefully you hear that importance today, because it's about workforce. It's about providing our business industries, our small businesses, a better workforce than we have in the past, and giving you a seat at the table for community-connected learning. And that's what we want to highlight today, and the opportunity, because this community has a great opportunity in front of them. As our vision says, a community committed to phenomenal schools, we want that to be truly the essence of what happens in August. Not just for our students, not just for our staff, but for HES, for HWEA, for Metalsa, for all the businesses that are listed here, to give them a workforce, to give them a tax base, to give them our community to thrive and to grow as it should. So we hope to explain some of that process today with this 20-minute presentation. I think the strong point of that is when people like Jim Lancaster and Taylor Hayes, and you'll hear in a second Cody Nofflinger talk through the importance of what we're trying to do, they're not educators. All right, they're business people. And when they're starting to buy into it and speak about it just like we are, that shows the importance of what we're trying to accomplish in August. And again, it's about our students and doing the best job we can moving forward to produce a better outcome of employees for you guys, the community connected learning. So with that said, I hope this is beneficial to you today, and I hope that you can find a way, whether you're a government official, whether you're a business leader, whether you're media, EDC chamber, to jump into this endeavor with us and live up to our mission of community committed to phenomenal schools. So I'm gonna turn it over to Cody Nofsinger, and I'll take it from here.
Thank you, Chris. Well, he kind of put me on my heels because he took a lot of stuff that he said is how I was going to start my introduction today. And that's good. That means I'm either being him way too much or we're all on the same page, right? So for some of the familiar faces I've seen here today, my name is Cody Nofsinger. Lee said I'm the Director of Finance Administration at AGS EnergyNet, so I'm presenting in front of my boss today, which means I have to do a really good job. But in my non-paid job is that for the last few years I've been serving as the Workforce Education Development Chair under the Pre-K to Biz Committee at the local Chamber of Commerce. So part of my work over the past few years has been working with CCPS to kind of be an external partner, work on the strategic planning and the master planning of the new Christian County High School, to provide a voice from the business community to help them kind of improve and build upon their model when we're transitioning the whole district to a CTE, career technical education model, within the academy structures of the school. When we think about that, then we're gonna be kind of changing the whole framework of the way that we talk about education with the community. Like Bensel said, a lot of the conversation around the new Christian County High School has been about the merging of the two schools and the historical significance based behind that, as well as the physical structure. But if you have a state-of-the-art facility that does not support the education system, or an education system that supports the state-of-the-art facility, then what we're doing is all for naught, right? For us to improve the workforce in this community, help benefit our businesses and our industries, what happens inside those walls is gonna have to be go through a transformational process. So a big part of that is the internal-external partnership. So now as we're shifting that conversation to talk about the education model, a lot of it's gonna be really talking to the business community and our industries to get an understanding of what both sides' needs are and how it would be mutually beneficial to not only the students and the educators, but also the businesses alike. And so I'm kind of starting to go around with CCPS to kind of talk about how this is a benefit to our local businesses to take part in work-based learning opportunities. So transitioning from it being a transactional kind of piece, and for businesses and employers start understanding that the work-based learning model is a strategic asset, or can be a strategic asset, to their organization, right? Trying to think about how this benefits businesses. You know, a lot of times in the past, working with the school system, hiring co-op students can be kind of seen as a goodwill gesture, right? A little bit of community support, community investment. I don't want to use the word charity, but you know, a lot of times businesses are doing it because they just think, hey, I need to support the school system. Well, we want that to kind of flip a little bit, and we want businesses to start looking at this as a strategic asset, a part of their operations, something they can leverage to help build a workforce and a talent pipeline into their organization. So I will say, and I think that Bensel also kind of touched on this at the beginning, is that I am kind of preaching to the choir here, right? I think everybody in this room gets it and understands. At HES, we built a very robust co-op program within our organization. We actually have permanent co-op positions on our organizational structure. It has not always been easy, but it has proved to be a good tool resource for us within our day-to-day operations. Tom, what you've done with the Western Kentucky Workforce Board with the WIOA program has been a huge support over the years to help students come from low-income-based backgrounds to have an opportunity to have some work-based learning. We've had WIOA students at HES, and they turned out to be full-time students. Fantastic, fantastic pipeline there. Tony and Carter and your team sharing what you guys have done with the Ignite program and all the industry tours that you do throughout the region. Everybody here has played a part already in this. And so what I'm kind of doing is sharing today, and this is kind of the first time I've talked about this with a group, is y'all would kind of be the guinea pigs. As y'all are business leaders, you're out talking and recruiting businesses and industries. When we talk about how this can be an asset, I hope you guys take some of these points that I'm going to talk about, and you can kind of fold those into your conversations, and it just becomes second nature to us as we're working with the new model. We all are going to have a lot of grace for each other during this whole process. Business community, we speak a completely different language than educators, but they are the most, I've learned through this, they are the most detailed into people that I've ever met in my entire life. For what I think is a one-pager, they can create a 30-page manual, you know. But there's a lot of value in that, understanding the processes throughout it. And so what we have to realize is that if we don't talk the same language for a little bit and things maybe feel a little difficult or something gets lost in translation, it's okay. This is going to be happening for the next decades of how we do education here, and so we just have to continue to build upon that and work with each other for us to all find a common path forward. So I'm going to briefly, that's my soapbox that I got on, but part of this process thinking, how do we appeal to businesses? We already, the good thing is that we're already in a great place. With Gateway Academy, the CTE model has been a part of this district for many, many years. I don't know how when Gateway Academy was formed. 11 years ago. Over 70% of students within our community take do some sort of education programming through the Gateway Academy, through some pathway there. So the students were telling us where to go. This wasn't, you know, Bitzel's great idea. We'll let them take credit for it. But the students were telling them, hey, we want to learn more and be more career ready when we come out. That's more interesting. It's a better educational process for us. And so we already have that. We already now have over 100 businesses who partner with the school system in some way, whether it be co-op or all type of different type of work-based learning experiences. So really now, it's about putting that under one umbrella, the powerful partnerships that Sandra will talk about a little bit, structuring that. They've invested in a software platform that will help as a custom CRM, such as a customer relationship management software and data processing with all the businesses that they work with to take to get an understanding of how those touch points are happening within the classroom. And, you know, really looking at it as a strategic approach moving forward and not just the one-off relationships that you see, right? So we're already way far ahead of 99% of all the districts who go to attempt this model. And I think it's just kind of putting it where we can all kind of understand our place within the greater vision of it. And that's how we'll kind of move forward. So like I said, give everybody a little grace. But what I was thinking about this is that I've been doing a lot of research, a lot of some studies and things, to how we can go to businesses and talk their language and say, this is why taking part in a guaranteed learning experience, career technical education is important. So I've come up with 5 points here. You guys can tell me if this is horrible or great, and that will change how I present this the next time. So the first thing, a lot of this is going to be told through the lens of co-op. But with a lot of businesses, there's different ways that you can be job shadows, you can be on an advisory council that works inside one of the academies that helps talk to teachers about things that they can do to kind of help make that the career technical education work, kind of experience work a little bit better. There's externships of working with teachers. There's all kinds of different ways. And I think if we just think of it through the lens of all businesses have a different way that they can take part and help. And so this all still, whether big or small, kind of works with everything, even outside of co-op. So the first is that work-based learning initiatives help with lower hiring costs and a stronger talent pipeline. So I'm going to use my notes here because I cannot read that. Funny story, I actually got my first prescription glasses last Friday. And when I put them in the car, I was like, oh, okay, this is very discombobulating. And then I looked up and I realized that my wife was right. My eyesight has gotten a lot worse. So it was nice to see things in HD again. So I can't read that, but hopefully I can read this here. The average cost to hire a business to hire an employee for a business is $5,000 to $12,000, which is really significant. You can think about in businesses that have a high turnover rate that we may see in some of our larger industries, that's a lot of cost that's going straight out the window. And co-op programs, they can serve as a built-in recruiting pipeline. And, you know, where it's kind of a test room. And students come in, work, see if they're a cultural fit, if they like it, you can look at their work ethic, etc. And a study says that Fortune 500 companies who work in an internship or co-op program will save about $6,000 on average per hire, which is really significant. You take that one, now you're going to recruit it, they've accepted, and now you're going to onboard and train them, right? So number two down here, it reduces onboarding and training expenses. So onboarding costs, one about $5,000 on average, and training costs $700 to $2,000 on average. And so, like I said, it's a low-risk test run, and you can kind of, what happens is they learn about your business, and then they jump in, and they're already more highly trained than someone that you pull right off of a traditional, like, NG job, kind of posting placement. Also, through the CTE model, most students earn some type of certification before they graduate, which means they've already got a higher level of training than what you see of some of the people that you kind of go through traditional methods. Once onboarded, there's a study by Drexel that said, with Drexel University, it says the ROI in the first 21 months is about 73% more cost-effective for businesses. If you look at their productivity, the reduced training costs, reduced onboarding and recruitment costs, and that works out to an ROI of 1.3 to 2 on what the companies actually invest to take part in work-based learning. So it is an HR function, a tool that your human resources kind of function within your organization can use, and it helps kind of develop, not only develops the recruitment aspect of it, but it gets them up to speed of being a productive full-time employee a lot quicker than we've seen in traditional models. What does it mean like a day-to-day for doing a co-op student right now? I know like in my department, it's very difficult to have a co-op student. There's not a ton of work that I actually can give to them. But in our customer service department, they play an extremely vital role for us because they can work our cash counters and take payments. In today's time, taking cash payments, walk-up tracking is a very inefficient way to take payments. We have all different ways, apps, online, IVR, take payments. But to be a good hometown energy provider, we pride ourselves on giving people that option who still want to pay their bill the traditional way. Well, we can put our co-op students on the front lines there, and then we can divert some of our more seasoned customer service representatives to take on the more difficult and more complicated calls. So on a, they provide operational support, and they help with productivity gain where your staff can go, can focus on higher value work. Last point I'd like to talk about. We talked about this going from transactional to transformational, from goodwill to actually transforming how you work and you leverage the school system within your organization, right? And so there's some aspects, there's the micro, it's within your organization, but that grows to community-wide if we're all kind of understanding that we're part of this greater thing together, right? So students don't only gain experience, higher employability, and stronger networks, but we get to benefit from diverse talent acquisition. We can have leadership development, where you have some people, your middle management, are developing these students, and then a stronger mentorship culture. And it's an economic development and community investment program. And when I think the best example of that, when we talk about HES and I was talking to our human resources specialist, about 20% of our employees took part in a co-op program. But only half of those actually co-opted at HES, which means somebody, some other company somewhere, invested in work-based learning that helped develop a prime candidate that ended up coming working in our organization for decades after that. That just talks about that there's the micro-transactional element that's important, but the greater experience of CTE education, if we all kind of jump in and play our part, no matter how big and small, will help kind of rise all boats and work with workforce as we go forward. So that's the 5 points from all that research that I've kind of developed, and we'll tweak that, and there's an accountability piece. If the school system isn't being able to provide this type of benefit to our economy, then we need to tell them, right? And work with them to improve that, and vice versa. If we're not jumping in and doing our part, then they need to be able to tell us. So there's an accountability standpoint of going back and forth. But if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask me. But if not, I will send it on to Ken Carver and let him talk a little bit about the opportunities within the school.
All right, good afternoon. Ken Carver, executive principal of the New Christian County High School. The butterfly feeling hasn't gone away yet when I say that. So, but very excited about the opportunities that we have, and that's what I'm here to speak to you guys about today: the opportunities for our students. And that's one of our focuses, is providing meaningful opportunities for every student, aligned directly to the workforce needs of Southwest Kentucky. You can kind of see on the screen that we have our four academies or four schools within a school model: Academy of Freshman Success, Agriculture and Skilled Trades, Business Engineering, Manufacturing, health and community services. And within all of those pathways, excuse me, those academies, we will be providing over 30 career pathways that our students can partake in that are aligned to, again, those needs of workforce development here in Hopkinsville, Christian County, Trigg County, and I know Todd County here as well, Southwest Kentucky. So in addition to the co-op and work-based learning experiences that Cody has mentioned, we're also working toward establishing at least one school-based, or I like to call them student-based enterprises within our school. One that would be housed in Ag and Skilled Trades, one in Business Engineering and Manufacturing, one also in the Health and Community Services. A school-based enterprise, if you're not familiar with that, a student-run business that operates within a school setting, providing real products or services to customers. So they're actually businesses, student-run businesses inside the school. This is a great opportunity for our students maybe who have barriers in getting to participate in co-ops, such as transportation issues. But just other opportunities for our students to get that work-based learning experience underneath our own roof. So moving on though, beyond the academy structure, maintaining and expanding rigorous academic opportunities. That's very important to us as well. This is not just a CTE trade school type facility, and that's kind of what's been communicated, or maybe what's been inferred, but that's not just what we're about. We're still going to provide those rigorous academic opportunities in the form of event AP classes, expanding those, continued dual credit offerings with HCC. As Mr. Benzo alluded to earlier, we have 62 students right now who are on track to get their associate's degree before they even graduate with their high school diploma. So we're excited about that. And then also too, a new partnership with Murray State University, where our students will have access to not online instructors. We're really trying to move away from that, but in-person live instruction from Murray State University professors at the regional campus, just right across the field there from our new building. So that's not only a first for our district, but a first for Murray State. And the partnerships that they have with all of their other schools and districts in their region. So our students will be the first to have that opportunity. So our students, they'll engage in CTE, or career-based organizations or clubs, CTSOs, including DECA, FBLA. I saw a gentleman back here earlier with the FFA jacket on, so our students are still going to have those opportunities as well. Skills USA, TSA, and those will provide them the opportunities to develop their leadership qualities, their characteristics, competition experiences, and just more industry connection. We've also built a bell schedule that is going to embed time during the instructional day for our students to participate in these types of organizations. So again, removing that barrier of transportation before school or after school, where a lot of times these clubs have to meet, they're going to be able to do that during the school day to make these more equitable and accessible for all of our students. So I hope that you see that our goal is not to, you know, to just redesign or come up with some new type of model for a school, but to create a talent pipeline. That's what we would like to do, is to create a skilled workforce that is ready to go to work immediately right here in Southwest Kentucky. So we're committed to producing graduates that are career ready, college ready, community ready, and delivering that return on investment that you guys are looking for and that you deserve. So we're excited about what this means for our students. We're grateful for your continued partnerships as we build the future workforce of Southwest Kentucky. So thank you for your time. I'm gonna turn it over now to Ms. Sandra Hancock. She is our academy coach for the new high school.
Hello. As we close, I wanna shift to one specific question. As it's been already mentioned about partnerships, and a powerful partner commits to supporting at least one meaningful academy or work-based learning experience, either each semester or basically, thank you, or basically two per year. And the word powerful is intentional. It doesn't mean random. It doesn't mean one and done. It is powerful. And many of our business and industry partners already would be considered a powerful partner. I want to mention the Ignite Tours. The Ignite Tours are an example of an intentional activity that our partners participate in. The Job Fest that is sponsored by Southwestern Economic Development Council and also the West Kentucky Workforce Board. That is also an intentional activity for our seniors. Notice they're both intentional. The tours are for our seniors that are going straight out into the workforce, and the job fests are for our seniors that are going out into the workforce. It's intentional. There's a goal in place for that. We also already have one that we're in our fourth year, and that is the Career Expo. Our Career Expo is for our freshmen. It is an intentional activity where our business and industry partners set up a booth at the Bruce Convention Center and our students rotate through the booths. But they don't just rotate through the booths. They actually participate. They stop at each booth. There's hands-on activities for them to do, things for them to try. They may have a welding simulation so they can see what it's like to actually be a welder. There may be a robotic simulation that they participate in. So they get to explore what careers are actually about. Again, intentional activities. Which moves me to our next definition, and that is a guaranteed learning experience. You will hear us speak from time to time about guaranteed learning experiences, or we've already got an acronym for it, the GLEs. We're notorious about our acronyms in education. But our guaranteed learning experiences, if you'll notice, Career Expo is one for the freshmen. Our freshmen have five guaranteed learning experiences that we already have in place. We've had them in place. This is going on our fourth year because we started our freshman academy 4 years ago and we went ahead and implemented those guaranteed learning experiences. If you'll notice, some of them are highlighted in black. Those are the actual guaranteed learning experiences that our business and industry partners can participate in. But I want to call your attention to something else about these guaranteed learning experiences. At the Freshman Academy, that's an exploration year. They're exploring the various pathways, whether it's through their freshman seminar, where our freshman seminar actually teaches our students about each and every one of our 30 pathways, to going into the Career Expo, where they're actually dealing with hands-on activities, and even the Reality Store, which connects the financial aspect of careers, and it associates that finance with their grades that they've got in class. So when they walk in the door, they are given a salary based on what their GPA is at the freshman level, and they have to make decisions like it's real world, you know, daycare. Some of them even say, can I like sell my child back so I can, you know, those types of things. It's kind of funny, but it is a you know, reality check for them. And then we go on into our sophomores, and the sophomore year, they move into more of an analysis of careers than an exploration. So that's where our sophomores will go on our college tours and also career tours. But the thing about it is they're not just going on a campus just to be able to see what a college campus looks like. We will actually intentionally plan those college tours so that if they're in animal science, they're going to the animal science department on that college campus to see what types of education and careers are available for them. With our workplace tours, those students will be going out into industry, and it's intentional. If they are in welding, then they will be going to an industry that has a heavy welding department, so they can see what it's like to be a welder in an industry. So we will not be loading 150 students on a bus and taking them to a college, to a career tour or a workplace tour. We will be narrowing that scope where it is directly connected to their career pathway. Then moving on to their junior year. Their junior year, that's where they start thinking about thinking like industry professionals. So if you'll notice, there's a job shadowing opportunity there. That job shadowing can look a couple of different ways. That's where we either take our students into the workplace and they get to shadow a professional for a day, or if it's a situation where that may be difficult to do, then we may do a reverse job shadowing where we're bringing the professional in with the student, and the students will be able to spend a day or a couple of hours with that particular professional, where that professional may be bringing in some type of real world challenge to them. They may be bringing an industry specific problem in and having the students to solve that problem, or at least give feedback on ways that they may feel could improve a situation. So again, they're moving into thinking like a professional. And then their senior year, that's where the workforce transition takes place. So there's several different things. The senior experience, that's a variety of different things. It could be co-op, it could be an internship, it could be the industry, the Ignite Tours with the Job Fest as their culminating project, hoping to get a job through that Job Fest. And there's a variety of other things. A capstone project. This is one thing that I'm really excited about. In fact, I've already talked to one of our industries. And that is where the industry develops a project and the student is given this project, and they may work on it for the entire semester or the entire year to come up with a solution or a prototype or whatever that may sound like. So there's a variety of different ways for our industries to plug in. These are our guaranteed learning experience. These are the ones that are directly related to our students. But in addition to those, we also have our advisory councils. Our industry leaders will be able to participate in our advisory councils, and that is where they can actually have a say in the curriculum that is taught in our classrooms. If there is something that is new and innovative, and they want students to be able to learn about those innovations, then they can talk to our advisory board, and we can try to get that implemented into the curriculum that's taught, along with industry certifications. I know Tom is probably remembers several years ago where we asked the West Kentucky Workforce Board to submit another industry tour, industry certification for our engineering department. So if there's industry out there that needs specific industry certifications, they can let us know, and we can campaign to get that on the valid industry certification list. I'm the academy coach. I'm the one that will be talking with our business and industries and getting them to help get them to commit to being a powerful partner. I cannot do that without Tony Prim, who is like my liaison with the industry world. Taylor Hayes and Cody Nofsinger both help me with business, industry, and the chamber connection as well. So if any of you are interested, please reach out to me. I will be glad to talk with you and get that powerful partnership in place.
Thanks, Sandra. Mm-hmm. I just want to recap and we'll wrap it up. I know we're a little over time. I apologize, Carter. But you heard Cody mention the word return of investment international. with this, I'll say it, this is not charity work. It's too important. We want your help. We want you to be partners with us. We want you to help decide the future of our students, to contribute positive to our community. And you heard Ken talk about opportunities, opportunities for extracurricular, for a well-rounded student, for mental health support, for extracurricular, for clubs. And you heard Sandra mention the word intentional. We're going about every step of this intentional to improve and transform the educational outcomes for our students. So we want the building is going to look great. It's going to be brand new. It's going to be a $150 million investment. But what comes out of that building in the form of our students prepare for life, whether it's enlistment, employment, or enrollment, all right, has to be spot on for our community and for our kids. It's too important. And for the longest time, we haven't done a good job of that, especially at the high school level. So we appreciate it. We're looking forward to starting this new transformation process for our one school, our one community, our one vision very soon. And on a side note, really quick, as the regional EDC, Tony is working on with Ty County and Trey County. I know Jessica is very familiar with this process, but inviting them to the Career Expo and starting them to work regionally as a school system under the EDC umbrella and kind of branch this out so all can benefit. And that's what we do in Christian County. So we appreciate the time. Any questions, comments, concerns, we'll take them. Thank you, Carter.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be here. Appreciate the hard work that you continue to do on behalf of the school system in the region. And as I said, we'll hear from Todd County Schools next month and then Trigg County in the month of May. And we want to maintain our strong position of partnership with each of our three regional school and public school systems. It's vital. It is economic development. So that slide that said this is 100% true. And thank you all for allowing me to serve on your steering committee as well and certainly playing a part in helping the school be successful.
Thank you.